But let's go to Terrace Chase and look for the bit. They had the pit.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you wherever you are, because it is a morning somewhere for March 19th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there, struggling to get her words out this morning.
And Ashley Burns, how you doing?
How about what?
Words are hard in the morning. Words are always hard, but they're really hard in the morning.
That was a crazy thing. That reporter from The Drop was the first time I had ever heard of the concept of aphasia. And I have been kind of fascinated with that ever since that. It was a viral clip from when?
Several years ago now.
2010.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
I can look it up. It was a while ago.
It's funny how time, there are things that will happen and they immediately feel like they happened so long ago. And there's other things that happen and you're like, oh, yeah, that was just a couple years ago. No, that was decades ago.
Yeah, or when there really was a period of time. I think I'm past it now where it did feel like the 90s were 10 years ago, like, and then the 80s were 20 years ago. Now they're like 30 and 40, you know?
Which is weird, too, because when I was little, I never believed it when people were like, you will never believe how fast time goes when you get older.
Of course not. You're sitting in school, like, staring at the clock.
Oh, man. Being like, time passing as a little kid was the most brutal thing. Time lasted forever, and now it really doesn't. So I do get why, as an adult, I'm like, I need to do this, and I need to do it soon. So next week, probably, and that next week is gonna come really fast.
We've learned a lot from like social media algorithms, and one of the cool things we saw online was a tip for expressing time to kids is we just got a set of colored hourglasses. And the different colors are different times. And so we just have these little hourglasses. Take them down from the kitchen counter, you know, the shelf, and put them out. And when we had 15 minutes, here's your 15-minute timer and things like that. Worked great. Worked really great.
We used to use it a lot for things like, it's going to be bath time in a few minutes. He didn't know what a few minutes was. He couldn't keep track of that. So we would get it out and we would say, when the green hourglass is empty, we're going to bath. And he would have a visual way to look and see how close it was to bath time. And those have continued to be really, really great. And I highly recommend them to anyone with little kids. We've kept them, now going to use them for Evie.
So while we're talking about kids in world news, I want to go to my favorite subject, which is there's yet another country that is facing a population crisis. Because you were just saying that when you were a kid, people said, oh, you won't believe how fast time goes. When I was a kid, all we ever talked about for the crisis facing the world, even before climate change, was overpopulation. And then one day that just like, it just went away. And suddenly we were like facing this incredible underpopulation crisis. And China, now of all countries, the country that had to have rules in order to limit their population, they had their one child law for decades. They're now facing a crisis where, according to Scientific America, according to Newsweek, they're facing a crisis that could see the population of China decline by 50% by the end of this century.
That's pretty significant, especially for a country of that size. The one-child policy was 35 years. It was implemented between 1980 and 2015.
I felt like that was like the entire time that I was alive. It was only 35 years that they had the one-child policy. And when did they repeal it, you said?
2015. I think they were probably doing a lot more exceptions towards the end. I remember you could apply for more children, and I feel like we would have heard a lot more about it toward like in the final years, as sort of social media and the whole world essentially was going online and talking about all these things. We would have heard more about that if they didn't have more exceptions, wouldn't we?
I mean, definitely.
2015 is it does feel like yesterday.
You also would think that would be it was very forward thinking, because I don't think we started talking about underpopulation until the late teens. And I would have thought them rescinding their one-child policy would have been bigger global news. Because first of all, it was very strange that they had it, like that they were had like a national birth control mandate. That's bizarre. But this is from the Newsweek article about this. It is long-term, irreversible, and deep, he said, in regards to the changes in the systemic population of China. By one projection of the United Nations, by the end of this century, China may have a population size that's barely above half of what it is now, he continued. And along the way, China will be joining the oldest populations in the world. In less than 30 years, by 2050, the median age of China's population, half of the population, will reach over the age of 50, up from less than 40 at the turn of the century. And that's from he in that, when I kept referring to he, is Wang Feng, a professor of sociology at the University of California. So they say median. In 2050, the median will be 50. So statistics, there's another thing we're talking about with statistics here. There's mean and there's median. Do you know the difference between the two of those things?
Okay, I'm going to, oh man.
Go for it.
Here we go. I'm going to take a wild swing.
Hitting you okay. With math early
so
in the morning.
So median, I want to say, is the number at which 50% would be higher and 50% would be lower.
Right. That's exactly it. And the averages, you add them up and divide it, and it's like on average, essentially. That's more mean. But median is when it's the number which, of the sampling, 50% fall above that. So if the median age is going to be 50 in 2050, half of the people will be 50 or older in just 30 years, which is crazy as the population is shrinking, because the population, you know, that means the birth rates are declining. So it's less young people to support everything.
Well, that's one of the things that we've talked about in previous episodes, like with what's happening with South Korea, yeah. Is there are a lot of young people that are being pushed into basically support roles for an aging population. So doctors, carers, things like that.
The other crazy thing about it in here is just like this little stat just tucked away in here, which is because of the one child policy that I assume it's because of that. But they say here, just kind of offhand, that there's 37 million more men in China than there are women, which I'm assuming is in the younger years because of that policy for the last 35 years.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit more here about the one child policy, and I think you're right. That is why China did actually start to make an exception in the mid 80s. Rural parents were allowed to have a second child if the first was a daughter. And I assume that that was to try to combat the sudden sons only goals of families.
It's a scary stat because you get all these guys and they get to, you know, their late teens and 20s and they just don't have any options, you know, in a standard relationship. They don't have any options for getting married and having a family themselves. 37 million men is the size of a really big army. You know, it's statistically, I know I don't like to talk about people like we're still, you know, tribal savages or anything like that. But it is, you know, what happens when you have an entire generation, or 37 million people in this case, with literally no options.
Let's do a science experiment. Let's make a country of just men.
Let's not do that. let's not even pretend that we did that. Can you imagine that? Good Lord.
What would that look like?
What would a country of all men look like?
All men. I'm assuming there'd be a lot of football.
Furniture stores would just be like just the mattress and and a folding chairs. That's it. And then you can put your TV on the cardboard box that the TV comes in. I'm telling you what, they could set the standard, kind of like the EU does for USB-C. They could set the standard for like every gaming console, how things are delivered. Like, look, you're not going to have access to our market PlayStation unless you add this feature or that feature. Yeah. A population of all men. It would also be the only country in the world with holidays like Christmas. It would be the day that everyone agrees not to get each other anything. That's just like, well, you don't get me anything, I won't get you anything.
Or all the Christmas shopping is done like at the convenience store nearest to your house. And they just like, oh, flowers are all gone. Except it's dudes, so it wouldn't be flowers. It'd be like, what would you get a bro?
Oh, man, Dudistan. They're the leading importer of Monster Energy drinks.
Bro, got you this. Love you, man.
Now I'm rethinking it. I want to go live in Dudistan for a while. It might be fun. It might be a fucking break. What would a country of all women look like?
Ooh, we have a national uniform. It's yoga pants, UGG boots, and a puffy jacket. So you instantly know. And there's a Starbucks on like every corner, and it's pumpkin spice latte season all year round.
Year round. There's no end to pumpkin spice season. It's forever. I think Czechoslovakia would declare war. They would declare war on other countries, not because of what those countries did. It's the way they did it.
We have a lot of government councils. We don't need to fix the thing, Bernie. We just need to be heard.
The cabinet just gets together and go, look, we're not trying to solve the problems. We just want to talk about it.
I just needed to vent, okay?
We want you to listen.
When we go to like build our furniture and stuff, the instructions will actually use words. They won't just be like a picture of like an arrow pointing to part of a thing that we don't even know what it is yet.
Bitch, please.
So we have Dudistan in Czechoslovakia. All right, what else is going to happen in...
Can I say something though? I'm sitting over here thinking this. I got to say
please.
This. So the weird hieroglyphics that are on laundry tags, which nobody knows what the fuck they mean unless you work in a professional laundry environment.
Did you know, though, you can?
Go ahead.
So this is a new thing on iOS. You can take a picture of the tag and it will translate it for you.
Why do you say iOS, not just say iPhone? Is there?
I don't know.
Is there some rationale that like Apple's going to branch out and let other people use iOS on different devices?
No, I guess maybe it's that you could do it with an iPad as well.
If you're in your laundry room with your iPad. You ever see like the dads who take photos with an iPad on vacation?
It seems like a huge thing.
It's a distinctly dad thing.
You say that, but there is like our laundry machines, Bernie. They're smart laundry machines. Yeah, and
let's not go around throwing around
you can,
words like smart.
You can use an app to download laundry recipes. And why, if you have like a household management iPad, you can use that. So yes, you might be using an iPad in the laundry room and say, also, I'm not sure what this should be washed at. And you can... ask the tag.
We need a theme song for UK versus US, or excuse me, US versus rural Scotland.
Also, Metro US versus rural Scotland.
Because let me tell you something, we love our new home country. There's a clear deficit in this country, a clear deficit.
I think I know where you're going with this.
And it is, Ashley's talking about our laundry machines, washing machines and dryers here are objectively inferior to the American behemoths that we have. Like, what is considered a washing machine here is usually something that tucks under a counter in a kitchen. Like, that's a lot of times that's where they end up.
Yes, for the most part.
You could put a shirt in it.
For the most part in the UK, as far as I've seen, there are usually not dedicated laundry rooms. Usually it's a washing machine. It might be a combo washer dryer. It's small enough to fit under the counter, and then you use probably a clothesline to dry things, and you iron them. In the U.S., it's a very different just style, I guess. It's you have a washing machine the size of a building, and next to it you have an enormous dryer that has a vent to push all the hot air outside.
Yes.
So when we moved here... this was one of those things that we had to learn a lot about. We ended up with a dryer that we didn't have a vent. So we got a dryer, which was itself a novelty. And
you're right.
The door had a tank.
It would collect the water.
It would collect the water.
What was it called? A condenser dryer?
Something like that. Yeah. And then we would have to dump out the water that the dryer collected from our clothes. It was crazy.
You would hit the start cycle and it would literally say 3.5 hours to dry your clothes. It was incredibly slow. So after many years here, 3 years, we decided we're going to go and find American style washer and dryer.
And what those are classed as here is commercial units.
Yeah. I knew somebody who moved to New York and she had to get a commercial parking permit for her pickup truck from Texas too. It was just, she was in Manhattan. And like, you just don't need that.
Yeah, girl, you gotta get rid of that pickup in Manhattan.
And see, I gotta say too, in Dudistan, you wouldn't even have any of these things. You would just smell your clothes after like 5 days and go,
no, it's good.
Throw it away. get another pack of t-shirts, bust them out. Got your black, you got your gray, you got your white. You're set for life, man. What else do you need? But let's be fair and balanced here, if we can, in our U.S. versus rural Scotland. In the U.S., there is one of the weirdest things ever. This must be a marketing thing, right? From like the 50s that survives. somehow in the U.S., drying your clothes on a line outside is seen as a low-class thing to do.
That's got to be a marketing thing.
It's very bizarre. And people from other countries don't understand that. Like, if you ride the train through Japan, European cities, anywhere else in the world, you will see people drying their clothes out on their apartment balconies and things like that. If you see that in the U.S., you're like, ugh, you know, and I don't know where that comes from. It must be from the washer and dryer companies, right?
It's from Big Dryer.
Big Dryer.
But yeah, which is weird, too, because the hanging them outside, the UV light is actually good for the clothes. It's healthier for them. And then they smell nice and fresh. They smell like outside until, of course, the rain starts. They get rained on and then you have to let them dry again.
Well, that's here specifically in Scotland. It's like you got to catch the 2-hour window when you can actually dry stuff. Unless you're in Brazil and then it dries in about 35 seconds these days.
Bam. Wow. Can you believe the heat wave that is happening in Rio de Janeiro?
I kind of sort of can, but go ahead and talk about this because we wanted to talk about this on the podcast today.
Yeah. So this is, there's a record heat index of 62.3 degrees Celsius.
Have you done the calculation
scorching
on that?
Rio de Janeiro. I have not done the calculation.
I have
on
done
that.
The calculation. On
what
that.
Is it?
Do you remember what the hottest we ever were in our lives was?
That was, we were in India.
Yep.
And it was
Northwest rural India. India is a big country. Some of it's like super monsoony and humid.
We were in the dry, deserty area. And it was 120?
It was 122 degrees the day we left from Jaipur outside of, like, we were in Pushkar. And it was so hot, when I stepped out in the sun, I could feel my skin crackling. Like, I could feel it. And it felt like I was in danger. And that was 122 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what it was Celsius. It was this Rio de Janeiro. It hit, what did you say again was Celsius?
62.3.
144 degrees Fahrenheit is the heat index in Rio de Janeiro.
And I want to be clear. So heat index is like one of those words that I always just hear. And
like
then,
median, right?
Yeah. I hear it and then I don't really think about it. So actually we went and looked it up. And what heat index is specifically is it combines air temperature and relative humidity in shaded areas to basically get a human perceived equivalent temperature.
So is that when
it's when they say feels like?
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
I think that's what that is.
Okay. There's also another one that's like the wet bulb temperature. There's all these different ways.
The hell's a wet bulb temperature?
I don't know. I was looking at this because I was looking up what this actually is. Now, I want to point out too, this seems like, oh, you're more than halfway to boiling at this point by any measurement if on this heat index. By the way, the heat index in Houston, Texas would be absolutely ridiculous.
Brutal because of the humidity?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. I had forgotten that because having spent, you know, my high school years in A-Leaf, when I got down in Southeast Texas recently for a month, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you just break a sweat doing whatever. I looked up photos of us in India because we did a documentary there about Baba, the cosmic barber, with Gavin. And I was trying to find the screenshot I took of the last day there of the temperature app. And I remember I showed it to our guide, too. And he said to me specifically, I said, look, it's for us, it's 122 degrees Fahrenheit. And he looked at it. I'm not even sure. Maybe India might use Fahrenheit for all I know. But he looked at it. He goes, oh, that's a lie. And I said, what?
What?
And he goes, yeah, that's a lie. And I said, what do you mean? Is it hotter? He goes, oh, it's much hotter than that. He said, but the National Weather Service, they won't put the actual number out because the farmers start to kill themselves if they put the actual number out.
Was he fucking with you? Holy shit.
Listen, everything that guy said was right. I believe that guy. And he would mess with us sometimes, like when we got on the train and he had us negotiate with the porters to carry the bags on.
And after he goes, you got taken to the cleaners.
We gave him like a dollar each. And he's like, you got robbed.
You know what, though? I'm fine.
Yeah, totally fine getting robbed in that scenario.
Here's the thing. If both sides feel like they made out like bandits,
everybody
that's
wins.
Great, right?
Everybody wins. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I got to ask this too, while we're talking about temperature and everything, because this is something I keep wanting to bring up. How is it possible, Ashley, how is it possible that it is 2024 and I do not have a thermometer on my watch or on my phone? How is that possible that I don't have that? Like, I can't just find, I can do everything on this phone and on this watch. I have an Apple Watch. How can I not just find out what the temperature is in the current room?
Can I pause it a guess?
Go ahead.
Because your watch is next to a permanent source of heat.
Fine. I can take it off. I can take it off, do the measurement.
And your phone is a permanent source of heat.
My phone is also a source of constant interference, and yet it has a compass in it. You know, it seems to be able to do every other thing. It's just weird. The one thing it doesn't do is a thermometer. It's like the weird thing when you learn that an iPad doesn't have a calculator on it, and there's no rationale for that whatsoever, other than the fact that Steve Jobs said you can't have a calculator on an iPad.
I think they decided, they're like, it would look silly.
It would look like a giant calculator.
Because it would be so big. And it's like, but then you so just, make a little one.
Yeah,
make
but then,
make a teeny tiny one. Make it look. This is my consumer equivalent of like, just fix your game. which is like one of those things where you're like, yeah, I'm sure it's that easy. But I'm like, make a half screen app.
Speaking of, while we're talking about OSs, we're probably not going to talk about this, but as a general notification to people who listen to this for current events, if you're a PC user and you're a gaming user, you might want to pay attention to what's going on in the gaming world right now, because they were at the Apex Championships of some kind, Apex Legends being the EA game. And the people playing the game in the championship suddenly found that they had aimbots and hacks on their games while they were playing. And now there's this back and forth between EA and some of the anti-cheats that they use, which I learned this one time when I installed a game that I wanted to play, and it wanted kernel-level access to my OS in order to apply anti-cheat stuff. And I'm like, it's not worth that to me to have this game have that level of access. And so now some of the warnings that they're issuing to people who have Apex or this specific anti-cheat installed is you need to do a clean OS install as soon as possible.
Yeah, like you need to format your computer and reinstall everything.
We do make this podcast in real time. We deal with information that's probably much different by the time you wake up and listen to it. So what I'm saying is that's a notification. Go out and read the current guidance, but that's something that you should be aware of as soon as possible if you need to make a full wipe of your PC because you had this anti-cheat installed on it.
Yeah, so they're saying that the anti-cheat software is what distributed the malware.
Yes, it was a hack on the anti-cheat that then they used to tunnel through and add these hacks to it. And who knows, it could come out that somebody's just covering their ass somewhere, like somebody actually did have a hack installed. But it is something that you should be out there and be looking at, too. The nice thing is we live in a world, especially with our iOS devices, Ashley, and our other mobile devices, where it feels like to wipe your system completely clean is an afternoon, you know, and then everything reinstalls from the cloud and you're good to go.
It is one thing I appreciate of the cloud is it's made moving between machines so much easier. And you can reformat, and you like my pictures and all that stuff. It's fine. It'll re-download.
Remember all that shit we used to have back in the day, like Time Machine and backups and like all that. I used to have folders of CDs of my own stuff.
I was going
to
say, like, would you like every so often go through and archive your stuff to disk, like to a CD or a DVD or something? So you're like, this is backup, this is my June 6th. Backup, and then you would make another one like 3 months later, and then get confused about like your version.
You're what
like,
you have
this?
On what?
Yeah, like was this on this one? Did I?
And you eventually lose everything anyway.
Yeah.
Another thing that's changed in our lifetime is the meaning of the word bots. I was thinking about this when reading about the hacks with Apex Legend. When I was playing games in the early 2000s and 90s, a bot was a player who was really good. Like somebody beat you and got a headshot from around a corner, you'd be like, oh, they're a bot.
Right. Like it was someone who was like, they obviously had, you know, AI level, bot level access, right? Like they could see, like they knew where all the players were. So they knew you were going to be coming around that corner because they were too good to be a real player.
Right. They were basically a machine playing against you, and the machine could decide, I'm going to hit you every single time. Whereas now bot means a bad player. Like, if someone calls you a bot in chat, it's not a compliment. It means you're a shitty player, because over time, the developers have dumbed down the computer players so that you can beat them and feel better about playing their game.
I wonder how many of us, like, older gamers hear that and just go, thanks, bud.
Thanks, buddy. I'm so good. I'm a bot.
Yeah. I've been chasing that one for decades.
All right. Well, that does it for us. I'm going to spend the rest of the day wiping my computer, even though I don't have anti-cheat on it, because now I'm paranoid as hell. Ashley, I don't know what you're going to be doing, but we will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.